Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Hey everybody, Josh Wigler here, and before we get into Attack of the Clones, I want to tell you a quick word about our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. That's right, a long time to go, because we're talking Star Wars here on Pushover Recaps, Attack of the Clones. Second time, last time, only two podcasts about Attack of the Clones this month. Whoops, sorry about that, but it's just Attack of the Clones, isn't it? Or is it that it's, oh my god, it's Attack of the Clones, and Attack of the Clones is just the thing that everyone wants to talk about? I don't know, it's kind of a little combo platter of both. I think we said in the podcast that I did with Jess Leese, we were both surprised, like, oh, Attack of the Clones, this is kind of fun. And I don't know, I have no idea what we're in for as we are doing round two of two here on Attack of the Clones coverage on A Long Time to Go, because we're combining the final two podcasts that are traditionally here on A Long Time to Go. We do the Duel of Debates, and we do the Instant Feedback Show, and tonight, the two become one, and that is happening by bringing in the following Jedi Masters themselves. First, LaTanya Starks. LaTanya, may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
And then we have a fellow Jedi Knight, Kevin Mahadeo. Kevin, may the Force be with you.
And also with you, Master.
Yeah. And it's also a bunch of people watching live. Shout out to the patrons of Post Show Recaps who are here for instant feedback as we are talking Attack of the Clones. With all the, I see Deidre, I see Jess, I see Brendan, I see Grace, I see Jank.
Hey everybody.
We got the squad. We got the full crew tonight.
Entire council, if you will.
See Brenna. Yeah, we got a whole Jedi Council here ready.
Every time you say that, it just really, I don't know what it is, but it just hits me.
I love it so much.
Bring up some anger. I don't know.
We got Riley here. We got Zed here. We've got a lot of people here who are chilling with us to talk about Star Wars, to talk about Attack of the Clones, to get everybody's takes on the record. Not just mine, not just Kevin's, not just LaTanya's, but yours as well. So anyone who is here and wants to talk about Attack of the Clones, this is the place to do it. A little programming note. Next month, there shall only be the one Long Time to Go podcast. And my understanding is, LaTanya, you're going to be there for it.
Yes.
I shall also be there for it. Kevin, I don't think you're going to be on this one.
I'm not well versed enough in the Clone Wars.
Yes. Which I've well, begun. That's part. That is part of the point. So we're going to be talking Clone Wars next month, but we're going to do a podcast that's like basically Clone Wars for newbies. We're going to do a podcast that is effectively like, I've watched a bit of Clone Wars, LaTanya has watched a bit of Clone Wars, and then we're going to be joined by the great Brendan Fitzpatrick, who has watched all of Clone Wars. And we will have a Clone Wars discussion in which Brendan Fitzpatrick will speak on behalf of all of the massive Clone Wars fans. LaTanya and I will give like the slanderous newbie takes, and everyone will be unhappy, which is exactly how we like it here on these Star Wars podcasts. What do you think? Does that sound fun? It doesn't. Huh? Oh, there's no one said it. Oh, yeah. Awkward. Oh, God. Oh, no. Rough start. Tough.
I mean, I'm not going to be there, but it sounds great.
Yeah. Tough crowd.
It's going to be wonderful. And everyone is going to show up for it. And I have decided, so you must.
All right.
I won't, but.
So okay. just the one podcast next month. So it'll be a little bit of a wait until the next one. And then a little bit of a wait after that before we get into Revenge of the Sith. We'll do a little stop down on Clone Wars in March. And then we will carry on with the Revenge of the Sith coverage in April. But first, we got to talk Attack of the Clones. I already talked about it with Jessica Leese, the great Jess Leese, and I recapped the whole movie.
What a great podcast that was.
We had a great time. It was really, really fun. I laughed very, very hard. And Lord, did I need it. So I was very, very happy to have them laughs. I would like to start, because before we get into all the instant feedback, I would like to start with your takes on Attack of the Clones. Who wants to go first, Kevin or LaTanya? Is there any preference between who would like to?
After you, LaTanya.
Oh yeah. Because Kevin's like, I'm gonna ruin the mood.
Yeah, I should hold it. Bring some joy before I just lightning. give people time to listen before they're just like, oh shit, Kevin's talking.
It's an interesting point. Give them like 20 minutes of podcast to listen to and then they can dip.
Yeah.
All right. The ATLT herself, LaTanya Starks.
That's a me.
Let's get it. Let's get your take on it. Because this is the first time you've ever seen it.
It's the first time I've ever seen it. And let me tell you, there are very few films that I've ever had such build up and being told how I should be disappointed in advance. You know what I mean? Like just people being like, oh, I'm so sorry that this is a thing that you have to do. Oh, no, this is a thing that you're spending time on. Oh, no. And so I went into it with the lowest possible expectations that anyone could have, like probably underneath the ground is where the bar was for me.
Yeah.
It was also like a really interesting point in my life, emotionally. And so I was just like, yeah, some escapism sounds like a, you know, not a bad idea. Let's do this. So I'm watching this movie and I'm waiting for it to be the absolute worst. And it wasn't for me, you know? Was it a little long in places? Yes.
It is a little long. You do get to like the whole like final act. You're like, I got 40 minutes to go.
That's what I definitely did. Yeah. DM Chappelle and be like, what could possibly be left in 45 minutes of this movie?
2 hours and 22 minutes. I turned it on last night. I was like, oh, I got to watch this. And I turned it on at 10:30 and I looked at the time and I was just like, oh no. Like, I did not realize how long this movie was.
I definitely did not look at how long it was beforehand. Yeah. And a few times thought it was about to end and then it did not. But there were some really, like some things I really enjoyed. I enjoyed, watching Obi-Wan jump out of a window to what seemed like certain death to like get into what seemed like a really cool space car chase.
The confidence, LaTanya. Can you imagine just like being so secure in your athletic prowess to just barrel through a glass window and jump upon a small drone?
Not these days in a
city planet where there is no ground. Like no. what a great, incredibly powerful confident move.
He has a +15 to athletics, so he was fine.
Oh, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
Just get the D&D in there now.
Yeah.
You can get a +15 eventually?
Can you? No. Maybe. No. With benefit, like with certain attributes or.
All right, never mind. No. Back to LaTanya.
I'm here for the D&D talk. I really am.
No, but stabilize. Yeah, so, recalibrate.
Yeah. So I was just like, wow, you know, this movie has some stuff going. Like, you know, like Rose Byrne is in this movie. Joel Edgerton is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just some young Aussies hanging out early on in their career. There's some pretty cool chases that happen. There's some interesting character development that happens for Obi-Wan, even though I was very surprised at how they split up Obi-Wan from Anakin in the movie. Because I did think that the whole point of the third movie, yet another movie I have not seen, was supposed to showcase how their bond had disintegrated, and it would have been great if we had gotten a chance to see that bond develop in the second movie.
Brendan will guide us through that on the Clone Wars podcast next month.
Wonderful. Well, yes. I'm really glad that that series and another series exist to fix the problems of these three movies.
I don't know what you're talking about. They had that elevator ride where they shared this conversation that told us how much they're friends, you see, because they spoke about it and they told us as the audience he's like a father to me.
I believe that's how he sounds too. He's like, he's like a father to me.
Yeah.
And I think Christensen's voice in this movie is great.
I also have some,
I love ya.
I love it. I love ya.
I just love you, Padme. I always have.
And I have an interesting theory about Hayden Christensen and his acting in this movie that I want to talk about a little bit later, that I've shared with Josh and Kevin. But I think it might shed that, and also an interesting theory about the romance between Anakin and Padme that I think might help people who have some issues with that storyline. But, you know, TLDR, enjoyed the movie. Like, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed the movie. And Christopher Lee, I love Christopher Lee.
Count Dooku.
Legend.
Mm-hmm.
Legend.
Let's see how you do with a lightsaber.
Exactly.
Yoda.
Have loved him since I was a wee bairn watching him in Dracula movies I shouldn't have seen him in as a child.
We are matched in the abilities of the Force, but how are you with a lightsaber?
Your Christopher Lee impression might be your worst impression.
It's like he's right here in the room.
I'll do it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yoda, what up?
There you go.
Yeah,
that's more on track. Now this is the instant feedback show. We are getting immediate feedback to Latanya's takes, including from Riley. I do love Christopher Lee. from Brendan Fitzpatrick. The fact that Christopher Lee had this role and Saruman in back-to-back years. Mwah,
don't chef's forget,
kiss.
Ansem the Wise in Kingdom Hearts 2. Also a very solid role.
I did forget that. There's also a comment from Jess Sterling that says, Kevin is so bothered. Because this is a visual medium for the people who are providing the instant feedback. And folks, Kevin is just like patiently sitting there in his corner.
Yeah.
He's rubbing his chin. Not unlike Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's like, curious.
Interesting.
Curious.
Yeah, this is a lot calmer, Kevin, than even we do in like, you know, our WandaVision podcast, where he's just like.
he's holding back because he wants. He wants the people. Oh, Emily Fox laughing from the other room. I don't know what she's giggling at. She's definitely not watching this. I promise you.
It's Discovery Plus.
It's definitely Discovery Plus. Kevin, let's Discover Plus your takes on Attack the Clones because you don't like it. I can tell.
You know, it's been a while since I watched it, and I was pleasantly surprised to say that I was not changing my opinion at all. This movie's not good. It's a bad movie. It's crazy because I tried to find things I liked, and I found 1.5 things that I was just like, okay, I guess this is fine. And everything else was so bad. From obviously the plot, the romance, makes no sense. The romance is bad. Hayden's terrible. Amidala's not good. Pretty much everyone's bad. The Jedi suck. Like everyone's kind of crappy in this movie, which is crazy, except for the 1.5, right? The one thing, and I feel like everyone is in agreement here, is that it's Ewan McGregor. Like he's great. And I don't even mean I don't even mean Obi-Wan, because that's also stupid. Obi-Wan's story is also dumb. But everything Ewan McGregor does in his movie is amazing. And I wish they would just refilm this with him playing every role. He's so great.
Weird. From that'd be odd.
The little things that he does where, like, when he's fighting Django and he's about to be pulled up and he's like, oh, that's not good. Like, he just delivers a lot in there that I think really is the only person to be humanized in any way, shape, or form as a real human. And he's so likable. And I think that's great. But that's like and that's just the actor, because the actual character stuff I don't think is very good. And the 0.5 thing is at the end of the movie. I can get to that when we get there. But overall, holy crap. I was talking late last night with Melissa in the Discord, and someone else who's escaped me right now. I apologize. But this movie, with Phantom Menace, I felt like I at least felt some kind of flow happening, or there was things I could be like, oh, okay, this is going on, the pod race. This movie was 2 hours and 22 minutes and mostly boring as hell. And so much of it could have been cut. So much of this movie could have been cut out or focused on anything else. Like, what are you doing? Like, the stuff that could matter, like, oh, Anakin's mom's in trouble, and like that could be interesting to like follow him in this 2 hour and 22 minute movie, to follow that character arc and see him like try to find his mom and have that develop into something. And that's the one part that takes like 2.5 minutes. And you're just like, oh, okay, I guess that's that now. And then you have like forever with everything else that just is unnecessary to have that length of time behind it.
Yeah.
Once again, shockingly, my biggest takeaway is George Lucas is not good at this.
We have comments coming in, instant feedback on the Instant Feedback Show from the great Brazilian dragon himself, Felipe. Hello to Fitzy and anyone else who enjoys watching this movie only. So that's a great little piece of Felipe. Whoa. Saluting.
Hello, Felipe.
The only people who Kevin, I don't believe he's talking to you. Felipe does ask, will Kevin at least say that this movie, while objectively bad, is at least fun to watch?
It wasn't for me, right? Like I was saying, like the first one, I bizarrely had more fun than this one. Like, it's such a weird comparison, because like a fun movie to watch for me, and I've said this before, here's make people mad, I'm sure. I would watch Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 4.
This dude loves
way
Twilight
over this movie.
It's so wild
that
to be
the movie that
Kevin
that is
like
fun
stands
to watch
the Twilight franchise harder than anybody.
Josh, we need to talk about Kevin.
Yeah, of
course. That's a different movie.
It's the thing that's happening right now.
I am becoming a serial killer. This is accurate. You should be careful. Like,
well, you know,
beware the path.
I don't even so much have a problem with. It's just your love for Twilight. The fact
it's
that
wild.
You would rather watch Twilight than watch this movie.
Breaking Dawn Part 4 specifically, or Part 2
part
specifically.
Part 4? There's 4 Breaking Dawns?
I wish. Give me 2 more of that last movie.
I couldn't even make it to Breaking Dawn Part 2 because Breaking Dawn Part 1 broke me.
Oh, that movie sucks. It's great.
Movies. And you think those are performances? You think
no.
that what's her face is doing anything except biting her lip and going, ugh.
Oh, no. You mean that little vampire puppet baby, Renesmee?
Yeah, that's in, oh god, that's CG.
No,
animatronic,
I mean,
Renesmee.
That CG was as good as the CG in this, which is saying something.
I mean, Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
And sparkles. Like,
and
what Renesmee, are you even doing?
Renesmee sounds like a great Star Wars character
movies.
Name.
I can watch it and there's humorous parts and like not purposefully so, but I can like laugh or enjoy a certain thing. I can enjoy Michael Sheen every minute of the day in that performance. But like this movie to me, again, it was just so boring. So much of it was boring and like nonsensical. And the writing, you know, we'll get to that because I pulled up a moment that I wanted to really focus on for the writing, but we can get to that eventually.
I'm excited to do that because I have a theory about the writing as well. And some lines in particular.
Let's get into that in a second. First, just an update on some of this instant feedback. I believe that this begins right around the time that Kevin starts getting into Twilight. From Jess Sterling, I wish I loved anything the way Kevin loves Twilight. Also from Jess, can we get a one-off podcast where Kevin talks about Twilight?
Everything is sparkly coming soon.
From Brenna, this is amazing. From Deshaun, I have never read or watched anything Twilight. It remains one of my life's great achievements. even Riley, who is number one Kevin Mahadeo fan, says, I've seen 20 minutes of Twilight. I hated every second of it. Brendan Fitzpatrick, who is the biggest Attack of the Clones fan in the room, says, I admire your conviction, Kevin, even if I would fight you to the death right now. And then my favorite is from Deidre, who says, Kevin is wiling. How did we get to this?
Yeah.
I mean, the question is, how did Attack of the Clones?
How did we not get here sooner?
I want to be clear, Kevin. This is voluntary. You don't have to do it. But I'm glad that you did. I'm really glad that you did. All right, well, let's talk about the writing, and let's start with LaTanya. Theory about the writing. Give us your theory about the writing of this film.
Okay, so I'm going to go for the lowest hanging fruit here, right? The line that everyone and their mother and grandmother points to when they talk about this movie, which is, I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough, and it gets everywhere, right? So
it's pretty good. Yeah.
Thank you. So in my humble opinion, a couple of things are happening here. The first is I have taught at a lot of high school debate camps in my life, and I have seen a lot of really bad pickup lines in action. This was a bad pickup line, and I'll talk about the delivery of it in a bit, but this was a bad teenage pickup line that was only delivered so that he would have the opportunity to contrast the coarseness and roughness of the sand to Padme's soft skin and then be able to touch her. Like, that is the only reason that this happened. It's just, like, let the little, like, horny Jedi and, like, counselor have the sex, right? That's the reason.
Sure.
And I think that it was written as a pickup line, a crappy pickup line, from someone who is surrounded, first of all, who is given that haircut and wears it on purpose. And then is surrounded just by like this group of men who's like, but you must form attachments, none, you know? So there's that part of it.
Form attachments?
I don't know.
We're supposed to do that.
When it comes to the delivery, and this is a theory that I shared with the two of you in our group chat, Hayden Christensen was a part of that generation of actors, and I don't know how many people remember this, where they were trying to find the next, like, Marlon Brando, James Dean kind of combo platter guy. And he very much fit into that mold. It's almost as if the people who don't like this movie had never seen another Hayden Christensen project before seeing him in this movie. Because this is exactly the way that he acts in every other movie. Am I saying it's good? No, I'm not. But I'm saying that it's consistent and you know exactly what you get. He's trying to be Marlon Brando. He's trying to deliver all of those lines in that particular way. And therefore, we get some really, like, truly ridiculous line deliveries. And he's trying to charm everyone because that's what a Brando or a Dean would do. Only he's just not as great at it. And it's a era we like to try to forget about because it's how we ended up with the likes of James Franco.
So very quickly before Kevin retorts, there is something that I'd like, there's a couple of things I'd like to say. I continue to hear Emily howling on the other side of the door, and it would be because apparently she says, I'm talking to Lee about magicians. Lee, of course, the Pen 15 podcast's very own Lee McLaren, recently engaged, freshly appearing on Post Show Recaps Theater this week with one LaTanya Starks in an episode that LaTanya at one point says, this will either be the best episode or the worst episode of Post Show Recaps Theater. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that is probably the correct, assessment still.
It's hard to know.
So there is that. The other thing, LaTanya, you touched on really quickly about this being like a pickup line, from Anakin. Reminds me of some feedback that we got earlier today in response to the Attack of the Clones podcast that we previously did, Jess Lees and I, where we were talking about the celibacy of the Jedi and how maybe like they want to start like, I don't know, banging out a little bit so that they can have like more Jedi in the universe might not be the worst idea.
Maybe they want to start banging it out a little bit.
I don't know, just a touch, you know? And so this was from the great Drayson of the Post Show Recaps patron community, who said, I'm listening to the podcast and I feel inclined to point out that Jedi are not celibate. He linked me to a BBC article in which George Lucas says, Jedi Knights aren't celibate. The thing that is forbidden is attachments and possessive relationships. So I suppose the implication there being like, you guys could do it, just don't like fall in love.
I'm not surprised that George Lucas is the type who's just like, no, you can have sex, just don't attach to anyone. The best
no
life
attachments.
Is to just bang people left and right.
Just do it.
That's what? The like coolest Nike. Life. The Jedi Knights, just sleep
swoosh.
With anyone.
Swoosh, just do it. That's it.
And so
I hate it.
I yeah. hate it. And this does explain where, I mean,
as Deidre says, casual sex only for Jedi.
This is like, so a couple of things, I guess. If we're going to focus on Anakin, one, the acting is not good. And I get what you're saying. It is from a specific era, but again, this can go to the director. Like, you audition, just get someone else. Or I don't know, direct, and try that. Again,
the tragically late Jonathan Brandis, I believe, was was in the inner circle for this, which a very sad story, and an actor that I really loved at that time. That would have been really fun to see him as Anakin.
What was that space show that he did?
Space 2020.
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, it's going to get looked up.
Brandis space show. He was on Sequest.
Sequest. 2020.
Sequest. Yes.
So good.
But yeah, and so there's problem one, and like, I don't know. It's maybe because like this hype, like he as a person, I feel like he went to school and he was attractive enough that people told him he was charming, even though he wasn't, but he was attractive. So they're like, oh yeah, you're so charming. And he just took that to heart and went to Hollywood and just kept going with that.
Yeah.
You know, cause society. But like he has no charm. At least
we
like,
live in a society.
God damn it, Joshua. But like it's for certain people like Brando, I do think has things where he does where I'm like, oh, that's acting. He acts. And James Franco for, you know, besides the just looking at him in roles, he does have charm. I mean, Spider-Man 3, he's the only part of that movie that is like, oh shit, he's like the pie line. Like he has charm in that movie. Hayden Christensen has zero. He has none of it. So there's problem number one. The other thing too, when it comes to the writing, is that yes, that could be a pickup line, but this was written by an adult man who, I guess, if his philosophy is Jedi can just have sex without attachment, that's how we got here. But I don't even think it was written to be a bad pickup line because I'm gonna read something here for the dialogue.
Oh,
here we go.
Everybody, pull up a chair. It's Kevin's poetry corner.
Actually, it's funny you said poetry, my friend.
Come to the Jedi Council's library with Jocasta and Kevin.
All right, here we go. From the moment I met you all those years ago, not a day has gone by when I haven't thought of you.
Felipe,
and now that I'm with you
interrupt.
Again,
Felipe,
I'm in agony. The closer I get to you, the worse it gets. I thought of not being with you. I can't breathe. I'm haunted by the kiss that you should have never given me. My heart is beating, hoping that kiss will not become a scar. You're in my very soul, tormenting me. What can I do? I will do anything you ask. If you are suffering as much as I am, please tell me. And it's funny you said
dude,
poetry.
That's from Twilight, though. You know,
no,
like that's Twilight.
No, it's not.
No,
it's from this movie.
No, I'm sorry.
You read that
Twilight
from Twilight.
Is, she's already
Felipe
full
says, that's
because
from
her
Twilight,
stomach
though.
Is full of butterflies. That's Twilight.
That's from this
good
movie,
writing.
Isn't it?
And that's from this movie.
Yeah.
That's from this movie. And this is my point. George Lucas, when he wrote that, if you listen to the way that's written, that man thought he wrote Shakespeare.
Yes.
That man thought he was writing a Shakespearean sonnet moment. And it is garbage.
Have you never written bad poetry, Kevin? Like,
I'm not a professional director, LaTanya. I'm not being paid millions of dollars to make a movie.
Not yet. Not yet. Don't sell yourself short. Not yet.
I'm not going to write off George Lucas' shittiness because I write bad poetry. I'm not a producer in Hollywood.
All I'm saying is,
not yet. Not yet,
though. Who among us, especially in the, you know, patron Discord currently watching an Attack of the Clones podcast
live, yeah,
has not been either the writer of or victim of
I wrote awful such poetry. I wrote such poetry as a high schooler.
But again,
much poetry,
this,
and I and like
poetry
I,
being
we
bad,
traded poems back and forth, and it was a beautiful
being
thing.
Bad makes the movie bad. Like, you can't be
but
like,
what
oh,
if
he
Anakin,
wrote it
no,
with
but
the
but
intent.
Anakin's just like an adolescent who's
he's
like,
not,
she's going to love this.
Because this is the thing that helps convince Padme. So, so fine.
But
is
it
you
she
wanna,
too? She's
if
like
you
a young
accept
person.
That, then
she's
you have to accept
young.
That Padme also sucks. Because this works for her. This works. Like, you can't have it both ways. You cannot have your cake and eat it.
So,
like,
this is the thing, though. That's not even what worked. You know what actually worked?
Tell me, because I have it, too.
The thing that actually worked...
Please say what I hope you're going to say.
...is I murder them all.
Yes!
The
yes!
Men. The women.
Thank you!
The children. And she's like...
Got her
yep,
horny! She hooked
done.
Up with him because of that!
She's
that's
like, no,
reason.
She's like, no,
the
hell
children.
Yeah. That, hell yeah.
And she's just like, yes. Yeah,
this is yeah, a good reason to be yeah. beyond,
dictator,
beyond the fact that...
Proto-dictators... I'm
yeah, she's
down.
Like, she's like, yeah, yeah, I'm into that. That's
beyond
great.
The fact that,
well, that's
Padme,
also probably why he ultimately kills the youngling. Sorry, spoiler
okay,
alert.
Wait,
with
see,
reckless
oops.
Abandon, because she's like, she's gonna be into this.
She's gonna be so into this.
I think she might like it. I think she might like it.
Except Josh, and here's my other point about Amidala. Besides the fact that in this movie she does nothing except exist to be fallen in love with and fall in love with him. Like, she doesn't actually do anything in this film. Besides that, is
I
yes,
disagree.
She get,
but go on.
I would love to hear what she did. Not only does she get horny for the fact that he murdered, Tusken Raider children, she's a racist because while she got horny for that, it wasn't until he murdered the younglings that she's like, oh, too far. So yeah. Apparently,
she's
murdering
like, oh, they're
Tusken
just
Raiders,
Tuskens.
Fine,
yeah.
You can murder
yeah.
Tusken Raiders,
they're
who
just
gives a
Tuskens.
Shit. But
yeah.
when he murdered younglings, suddenly she cares. So yeah, Padme, also shitty. She's not good.
No.
They're all
you
bad.
Know,
they all suck.
This is all an analog, right, for the Holocaust. So someone's got to be Hitler, and Hitler had his Eva Braun.
Oh, no. And there it's Anakin? It's-
And it wasn't until later that she was like, oh, wait, I take it back. And then dies in a bunker, I guess.
Yeah.
No.
Actually, not even dies in a bunker, just ceases to have the will to live.
I have questions about Kevin not liking this movie. Are you to tell me that you don't enjoy the car chase? Like, the car
yeah,
chase at the start of the movie,
on.
Which is, like, pulse-pounding and good and, like, really fun. And, like, they've got, like, convertibles on Coruscant and they're driving around. And as we said earlier, Obi-Wan just, like, throws himself into a window and out a window and onto a drone. And then he flies all around and he sees the guy whose name I'm forgetting is, like, Ebenezer Screwball or whatever the hell. And he's trying to smoke his death sticks. And you don't think any of that's any good?
Isn't it Elon Musk?
I believe it's Elon. It's like Elon Screwadavio or
yeah,
something
Elon Musk,
like that.
Right.
Elon Scumbagio.
Right.
I think it's something akin to that.
No, not really. I like the pod racing a lot more than that. I felt like the pod racing had
whoa,
something happening. They set
what?
Up a reason why this is going on. This became, I jumped out the window to chase after, by the way, another, again, this plot is nonsense. To chase after someone that presumably Palpatine hired Jango, or Palpatine hired Dooku to hire Jango Fett to hire a different person who is a shape changer to then use a droid to then put an animal inside that would then go kill Amidala. What?
Uh-huh.
Like, there's
what,
covering
what's
a paper
confusing
trail,
about
and there's
this,
just
Kevin?
What?
What's
so,
confusing?
Yeah, just everything, to correct myself, it's
me,
Elon, Elon Sleazebag, you know.
Oh.
Elon Sleazebagina.
So that was right.
Let me correct that. It's not confusing. It's stupid. So I think that's the thing there. So the car chase is just, I mean, it's entertaining.
I love
fine,
the car chase. I think it's great.
It.
They like drive through, like, they, I love that they've got like complete nonsensical like tunnels within skyscrapers. Like, here, you got to go through here rather than, I don't know, space. It's just great. I love it. I love the layout of Coruscant. It makes no sense to me, and
yeah,
it just
I was
makes me laugh.
Say, who's in charge of the design of this city,
city? Planner? City planner. It's got a. That's a tough job because you're city planner. City planet planner. Latanya.
Yeah, planet planner.
Planet planner. It's a lot of work.
The other problem for me in this car chase is that I saw it better done in The Fifth Element. So, like, I think there's that.
Oh, yo, okay, all right. You know, I got a bing. If I'm Rob, I'm giving you the bell. Of course, obviously, Fifth Element, the Lilu multipass. Please help. Yeah, like all of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not seen that movie.
Whoa!
I know. I know.
Oh my God. I love the Fifth Element.
Same.
I know all about the fashion aspect of it. Like, I know all about those, like, specifically made, like, how the entire, like, wardrobe was done by, was it Gautier? I want to say.
I might be
wrong about that. But I don't know anything else about that movie except Mila Jovovich is in one of the most iconic sci-fi costumes mm-hmm. known to people. I thought that the car chase was really cool. The idea of jumping from car to car, Anakin ignoring everything that Obi-Wan has to say, losing lightsabers and things like that, having, you know, picking them up at interesting points. Then they get back on the ground and they go into this bar and Obi-Wan just kind of like saddles up to the bar. And that's how he ends up like making the collar as Anakin is like frantically searching for this shapeshifter. I thought that was really cool. Did it last longer than it needed to last? Maybe. But overall, the concept of it as an opening salvo for a movie, especially once they got away from the worms. Like, please no one send worms to kill me. Murder me in any other way.
What a terrible way to go.
Murder me any other way except worm.
Okay.
How did LG go? Space worms.
Hold on a second. Everybody just
sent through the window.
Everybody, we need to take just a second to stop down for a moment on... Please don't kill me with worms.
Yeah.
Murder me any other
any
way.
Any other way.
Well, that's got to be on a sticker. please don't send worms to kill me.
Yeah.
Murder me any other way.
Motto of that's the Patreon t-shirt. Discord.
MOTPD. I love that as like a... I feel like that's such a great sassy thing to throw back at someone who you disagree with in a fight, LaTanya, to mm-hmm. be like, murder me any other way.
Yeah. I think I've done that before, if I'm not mistaken.
Like, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So, murder me any other way.
Murder me any other
any
way.
Any other way. Yeah. Yeah, that's very good.
Thanks.
That's very good. I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's
great. I thought that was gross and I didn't want to see it. And I got that it was CGI and not actually happening, but
I just love that was the plan, LaTanya. It's like, here, well, this is what we'll do.
Right.
You know?
Like I said,
where were Anakin and Obi-Wan?
They were basically in the other room, yeah. like crushing heinies and just like getting
blasted. They were in the middle of arguing. They yeah. were in the middle of arguing over the exact thing that's happening using Amidala's bait. They were literally arguing about that in the next room.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh no, the thing is happening. Yeah, shocker that the plan you enacted was happening.
Yeah.
I mean, also thank goodness that Anakin actually is so strong with the Force because he came very close to just slicing off Padme's hair and head with that lightsaber when he was trying to kill the worms.
But because he's so good at it that it was never really, you know, an actual risk, though.
I guess, but I don't know.
I just understand how he got that good with the Force. It feels like he's very Gary Stewie.
It's the midichlorians, Kevin.
Have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Kim, we talked enough about Anakin and Pat. We haven't talked enough about Obi-Wan to my standard. Kevin, you're not going to tell me that Detective Obi-Wan is fun?
Again, Ewan McGregor is fun. Detective Obi-Wan is not a thing that happened. Like, he didn't detect anything. Like, people told him things and he went to go do the thing. Like
that's very noirish, though.
Detective does.
Yeah, no, that's a noirish thing.
Actually pieces together a mystery. Like,
he does. He's like, I believe Sifo Dyas is a dead guy and somebody is posing as Sifo Dyas.
Someone literally told him Sifo Dyas ordered these clones and he said,
yeah, but that's how he chased the lead. He chases the lead. He goes all the way to the rainy planet and then he finds out about that, and that's how a detective detects.
My God, have you never seen a detective movie, Josh?
I've seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Go look at the Thin Man. Go look at any noir movie. A detective pieces clues together and actually comes to a conclusion himself to determine what it is.
I saw Detective Pikachu.
Like, even then, there was a mystery that Pikachu solved at the end by piecing together clues, not having people literally just tell him every time he showed up somewhere, this is what's happening. And he's like, oh, cool. I'm going to continue then what you just told me to go to. I'm going to go there. Like, I there's no actual detective. Detecting. He's literally just walking that. From place to place. That's it.
No, he's flying, man.
He goes to the library. You know, he goes to try to figure out why
except he did it. Oh, man, that scene is so spectacular because he goes to the library and has to go to Yoda, who then has a child tell him, well, someone must have erased it. Boy, couldn't figure that out. He's a Jedi Master, and he couldn't figure out, well, I guess someone erased it.
Like, well, I mean, none of the Jedi Masters could figure out that, like, the one Jedi that left the Order...
Which was also evil. Which goes back to the Jedi
the villain.
But they also just got internet installed at the Jedi Council, so you cannot that mad.
That's
you
know?
Like, oh, my God.
Before they were doing the Darth Dewey decimal system.
Oh,
so
here we go.
The other thing with the Jedi, reason the council sucks is because, like Obi-Wan straight up tells them, like, hey, I don't think Anakin's ready for this. Maybe don't do that, considering I'm his, like, been training him the whole time. I probably know him best. They're like, council made the decision. We're fine. Like, they're all dumb. The Jedi are also stupid. The only reason Palpatine is able to succeed is because everyone else around him are idiots. And, hey, props to that. I guess it works for him. But it just also makes the other characters look bad.
How does no one suspect Palpatine of anything ever?
Because there is
this was the thing that I really harped on with Jess, where it was like, man, I got like really even Brendan Fitzpatrick is saying, I have to agree, the Jedi Council is trash in this movie. And look, I love and Jankinator too, saying Jedi are trash. It's known. I love him, I do, Yoda. I love him very much. I love Yoda so much. And he's great, but that dude should have known what's up. Like, he sees Palpatine, he's like, now that's the bad guy. And that's my Yoda impression there, for real. So he's like, that's the bad guy. Like,
isn't he like, just, the only thing he does is, like, sit around in his like, little place and meditate on the Force to see like what's going on.
And his answer is always just like, it's too cloudy.
Evil is clouding it, I guess.
Because Sheev is just like, is that it? Like, Sheev is just so powerful that he's just dunking on everybody.
I mean, basically. But again, it's also like the lack of deduction for anything. That scene too, and this isn't deducing, but boy, the one scene that I did laugh a lot at was, quote, if only Senator Amidala was here. And then Palpatine's, like, what a ridiculous read moment. Ooh. And I know it's the fool Jar Jar who's also an idiot, but, like, again, like, if Riley's here, he might like this reference. This reminds me a lot of DC Comics. In DC Comics, they state very much that Lex Luthor and or Batman are the two smartest people in the DC universe. And there's a point where there was a story arc that happened. I was like, oh, Lex Luthor's smart because everyone else is dumb. Where literally they captured Nightwing, a.k.a. the boy formerly known as Robin, and had him strung up, and they unveiled his identity to the entire world that, oh man, Nightwing, who was Robin, is actually Dick Grayson. And the only person in the world that immediately went, well, I guess Batman is Bruce Wayne, was Lex Luthor. So that's the only reason Lex Luthor is smart is because everyone else is apparently way too stupid to figure stuff out. This is that. Everyone is too dumb in this universe to figure out anything happening, and hence why Palpatine is able to do everything. Because he's the only person with some semblance of intelligence.
Deidre, to chart some instant feedback, Deidre's asking, did Kevin just say Dick Raceman?
Correct.
No.
Yes.
Dick Raceman.
Dick Grayson.
You know, ever heard of him?
Yeah. Brendan says that the best argument that he can make is that the Jedi are bad, and it's part of their plucky charm.
Because you're stupid. Hold on.
Brendan says, Brendan,
you should love Jar Jar. Jar Jar should be the best character in the franchise.
Brendan threw me. He finished. Brendan says, you know they're going to lose, so now we see why. It's a prequel. You know they're going to lose. What do you want?
A better
plot structure.
I want
them to be better.
Characters. Yeah, you can still have them, your heroes I do. Fail.
No,
by
they
not
look
being
great.
Dumb
and
ineffectual.
Hey, don't like disrespect them because they go to the arena at the end and they just like they do the smiling Jedi thing.
And they Mace all Windu, get gone
Mace
so
Windu
hard.
One Mace Windu one shots Jango Fett. Jango Fett's a chump. If we're gonna power rank the bad guys from the prequels, which I would like to do, starting 1, 2, 3. Now it's Darth Maul, then Jango Fett, all the way at the bottom at the moment. I think like Darth Maul, Count Dooku, Jango Fett, and I guess Palpatine above them all because he's just the most effectual villain.
What happened to Jango Fett's head?
Boba Fett picks it up.
No, he picks up the helmet.
The head's in the helmet.
What happened to the head?
This is a great debate. It's a great debate.
It's still in that helmet. It gets chopped off in the deleted scene that they cut away. The head just plops out and Boba screams and runs away.
Yeah.
All right. Poor Boba.
I think it's in there. Yeah. I think it's still in there. Yeah. I think if he lifts up the visor, he's going to see like his dad's face, and it's not what you want.
What's even crazier is that he's going to see his dad's face over and over and over and over again
as he grows up.
Yeah. Every time he looks at the mirror, he can't get away.
I mean, I guess you have to give some another reason I guess I liked this particular movie, especially after seeing season 2 of The Mandalorian, is because for me, it gave me the Boba Fett backstory, which I didn't have, because I'm such a novice to all of this stuff.
Right.
That's
Boba Fett's going to be pretty messed up after all of the stuff that he's endured.
He went through a lot. That's really interesting hearing it, right? Because like you not having the like background with the original trilogy into this, it's interesting hearing that take. Because I do remember people not liking that, because part of the appeal of Boba Fett at the time was because he was mysterious. We didn't know his origins. We didn't know who was under the helmet. It was one of those cool things where it's just like, oh, Boba Fett's mysterious and interesting. And this movie gave him an origin. The origin is like, he's a clone. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. And he's also, again, like when you kidify anyone, just like we're experiencing here, with the prequels, it becomes rough. Cause like that kid was fine, I guess. But like there's moments where I'm like, ooh, that kid is not doing a great job.
He has some great line reads.
Get him, dad.
Like that laugh was like, oh yeah, my God, what was that?
Fire! Like, fire!
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 So, like, that's the thing, right? Like, people had, like, mad love for this character, and they're seeing the next time they see him, this is it. And he's like, it's like the Jake Lloyd thing, except I think Jake Lloyd was better. But it's like this, where you're just kind of like, oh, man, that's what we're getting from this character we loved. And then his dad gets decapitated, and we see him pick up the helmet as a, like, I guess this is how he becomes Boba.
Who had the take that Jake Lloyd was the only one acting in Phantom Menace? That was Kevin.
Yeah,
So are you saying that Obi-Wan is the only one, that Ewan McGregor is the only one acting in this movie?
Acting well. And I think I had...
And so you want to, like, stick by that statement?
I think like for you this stay there? Movie, I think for this movie, there is more acting, but I think I had stated this before, and I think it's also the same in episode 3, is that people are all acting, but they're acting like they're in different films. Like everyone's acting differently for a different type of movie, and then they just mosh them all together. Like you have Hayden Christensen and his Jane Franco-ness, and you have Natalie Portman, you know, actually trying to be a political dramatic a person, and you have Obi-Wan who's like, I'm in a Star Wars movie, I'm having fun. Everyone's acting, but they're all acting like they're in something different, and that causes a mishmash of tonality throughout the entire thing.
I do want to go back real quick to something you said, Kevin, about how Padme doesn't do anything in this movie. So the reason I disagree is because she's the reason that they go to try to find Obi-Wan. Like, it's her idea.
Yeah, it's her call. She's like, you're my bodyguard and I'm going, so you have to come too.
You have to come with me.
I want to just quickly reference the instant feedback. Brendan Fitzpatrick, in a very curt two-word sentence with punctuation, I should say, get him, period. I believe he's speaking to you, LaTanya.
Oh, okay. Done. Also, I mean, for being a princess turned senator who is, what, 18 years old, I guess, in this movie?
She 18 in this one?
Who knows?
We don't know.
Does anyone know? Yeah. I'm asking legitimately. Who knows? 24. And he's 18?
And he's 18.
That's the 24 theme song.
Yeah. All right. So that's 6 years. Anyway, I... There's a lot of, she does a lot of fighting. You know, she's like as down for adventure and like, you know, taking on the bad guys as everyone else is. And it's
one could say she's on top of things.
Yeah. One could say, like, literally at times.
She's one of many who is doing the big fighting at the end, sure. But in terms of like her convincing Anakin to go, literally the Jedi were going. They also got the information and were going to show up there regardless. So I think there's that. So like she convinces him, okay, but like again, the like it's the same thing. Like they really undercut her, especially from the first movie, where even when she's trying to be, you know, a queen, Anakin's yelling at her in the middle of a meeting with the current, or sorry, senator, with the current queen, and everyone's just awkwardly like, ooh, like, you know, like Jesse from Breaking Bad, just kind of like awkwardly looking between everything. At the end, when she was just like, we have to go get a speeder so we can go meet Dooku, Yoda's already doing that, and Obi-Wan already said that. So they really undercut any effectiveness she has, because everything she's trying to do anyway, other people have already done. And so, like, she loses this element of a leader that we got in that first movie. And it's crazy, because, like, the beginning of this movie is that she has, like, her handmaid blows up, which is insane. Which also, the bomb came from inside the ship. Why did they wait till they land to blow up that ship? Blow it up in the air, one. Two, that scene is also nuts, because the handmaid is like, I failed you, and she's like, it's okay. And I'm like, how did you fail? You literally did the job you were, the terrible job you were hired to do, which is to be a life model decoy for the queen. Like, you didn't fail. You actually accomplished a job, which is a terrible job. Like, it's really bizarre that they did this with this character, with Anakin and everything happening. Like, she doesn't serve even in a way of a moral compass, because like we said, she ends up being like, oh, I love you, after he's like, I murdered a bunch of kids. And you're like, all right. What was a really, really strong, good character, they really diminished in this film. And then they had her have the perfect midriff rip, which I'm like, guys, come on. Which is another thing of just absurdity. Like, if you're going to do that to her, do that to Obi-Wan. Like, get Obi-Wan's shirt off completely, please.
It's inevitable in Star Wars movies, it seems, up until maybe the most recent trilogy, which we don't have to discuss ever again, except Adam Driver is amazing. And, yeah, but like, you know, we can go all the way back to that bikini that they made Princess Leia wear, which was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Of course she gets the perfect midriff rift. It's the reason I'm wearing this like ripped sweater at the moment. It's all,
you can't see my midriff right now, but it is bare. You can't see it, but trust me, currently it's bare.
I'm imagining what that looks like, Josh. I like it.
For the $20,000 patrons, I'll show you.
Okay,
That's the wrong thing you're talking about. Openly,
so Padme. First of all, let me just say, maybe she was ineffective, y'all, because she was falling in love.
Oh,
but again, who she's falling in love with?
No, I like that.
But who she's falling in love with?
Oh, I like that, LaTanya. That's cute.
She's falling in love.
I mean, I guess if you can write off atrocities by falling in love, I guess we're all fine with a lot of terrible things.
You certainly can.
Yeah.
Skywalker in flight.
Ooh. Tatooine delight.
Yeah, it's good.
No, that was totally a joke, but I mean, they're both basically useless when they're just like rolling around on a cliff after having a picnic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what are they even doing? They're talking. Well, first of all, Anakin is talking about becoming a literal dictator.
He's constantly. That boy's a creeper. Oh my God, that boy's a creeper.
Yeah.
I said this in the Discord that I was like, he's a literal m'lady like guy. Like, he's literally that, because he says m'lady.
I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what that was until you said that to
me. M'lady is like the prototypical like nice guy type that you hear about, that trope where it's like a guy who's just like, you should hook up and sleep with me because I love you so much, and that, like, I'm nice. Why are you with jerks all the time? And they say it's a joke that they say m'lady and they wear fedoras. So like, this is like literally, wait, one, he literally says that, and two, that speech I read. Something about me. I used to be that, and it was terrible. And that guy, that version
you
of Kevin,
fedora?
Is a big, no. But I was that mentality. I was there where it's like you give these like these speeches that are like manipulative and terrible, and it's bad. It's bad. And like George Lucas should know better than that. But like that's what Anakin's portrayed as, and to have Amidala fall into that is not good. And so I think a lot of problems there, incels, that's actually a great call out, is basically the name we have now. And like that is what Anakin is, from the creepy way he talks, the way he obsesses over her, and the fact that that she falls into it is really not great. And so that's another big problem I had, because like as a person who lived that, because he was that and acknowledges how awful, terrible my mentality was, like, it's seeing it here, I'm just like, Jesus, this is bad. Yeah. This is awful.
I mean, I think an issue is, and not that it was insurmountable by any stretch of the imagination, it's definitely surmountable, but like the ending is written in the Star Wars, you know that Anakin Skywalker's Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So anyone who's going to fall in love with him and, you know, they're going to produce Luke and Leia is falling in love with a guy who's going to end up, you know, presiding over the destruction of at least one entire planet.
At least one.
At least the one.
Just for shiggles, really.
Yeah, really just to flex. I guess technically it's kind of a Grand Moff Tarkin's call. But Anakin's there.
Yeah.
You know, Vader's there.
But again, there's ways to write those characters.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's why I say it's surmountable, ultimately. But it is tricky, and they just do it poorly. They definitely do.
Yeah.
But you know what? All these years later, all this time has passed. I think I like it for the memes, ultimately.
I mean, isn't that all what anything is for at this point? Is for the meme economy.
You know, Episode 3 has the best meme.
Don't
and TikTok
ruin it.
Meme.
Yeah, don't
ruin
spoil it.
It.
Don't you dare.
Episode
3 has the best, so this one doesn't even have that.
I already
In
had
my
the
point of view, it's episode 2 that has the best memes.
I hate you, Josh.
In my point of view...
Yeah.
It is Kevin who is evil.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everyone's point of view. That's just a straight fact.
Can we do something that that I liked doing on the Instant Feedback show last time? It was a little bit of a game. I think like I really would like to do this one where everybody on the panel does their best impression of an iconic line from the movie. And I think the one obviously has to be, I hate sand. It's coarse, it's rough, and it gets everywhere. So I would like everybody to do their best impression of Anakin. We call this the Yippie Off, because last time it was me, Troy, and Zed, and we did Yippies. So I would like to apply that to this line read from Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
I do not want to go first.
Kevin does.
Sure. What's the exact line?
The exact line is, I hate sand. It's rough. It's I hate sand. It's coarse. It's rough. And it gets everywhere.
I hate sand. It's coarse. It's rough. And it gets everywhere.
Okay.
God, right. That line's so terrible.
I just want to listen to Kevin read lines from this movie.
All right,
like,
I'll go.
Please.
I'll go next. And I do think it has to be an Anakin line every single time, so this works. All right, I'll go next. Hold on. Okay, here we go. This is a pretty close impression, I think.
I hate sand. It's coarse, rough, and it gets everywhere.
I thought we were mimicking.
No, that was mine. That was mine.
That's what he says. What are the rules, John?
He says that. That's what he says in the film.
Yes, those are the words that are coming out of his mouth. But I thought that the rules are that we're supposed to sound the most like what he sounded like in the movie.
Yeah, that's what I thought
too. Those are the rules, and I think I'm winning so far.
Okay.
I guess Latanya's coming up. He's got.
Yeah.
All right. Let me center myself. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain. Okay. I hate sand. It's coarse and it's rough, and it gets everywhere.
That's good. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
I can see it. Yeah. I can see it.
You can do it like Arnold. Thank you, Dave.
There you go.
I hate sand. It's coarse.
There it is.
It's rough. And it gets everywhere.
There it is.
The winner.
We are like contractually obligated to talk about the Yoda fight.
Oh my God. You know,
the punchy, kicky, flippy.
No! Yes! So,
I mean, Kevin, literally kicky, flippy. He's actively in the air, kicking and flipping and lightsabering, but it is active kicky, flippy.
It's kicky, flippy. But here's the thing. It's really funny. We talk about our, memories of these films, right? We talked about our memories of Phantom Menace. I will never forget my memory of watching this movie for the first time. It was a midnight showing, and we went to the theater. We're watching this movie. A bunch of fans. We were all really excited as it was happening, and I remember distinctly the moment that Dooku has Obi-Wan and Anakin down. He chopped his arm off, and you just see the shadow walking, and you hear the cane, and Yoda comes in, and someone just shouts out from the audience, "Bitch, you're gonna get it now!" And killed us. And that's the thing. The point five, I will say I liked. As much as I disliked the Duel of the Fates fight, I was really, shockingly surprised by how much I was like, oh, the Obi-Wan Yoda, or not Obi-Wan, the Obi-Wan Anakin Dooku fight, I actually liked because it wasn't kicky flippy. They were actually doing stuff where I'm like, oh yeah, you're not just flourishing for no reason. It actually felt like a lightsaber battle was happening. I really liked how that was done. I liked the choreography. I wish Anakin dual wields a little bit longer because that was really cool. And it didn't become all of a sudden he's just flipping upside down with two lightsabers. It actually felt natural. It felt like there was choreography. And then when Yoda shows up, I actually really liked the start of it. Because to me, Yoda was always this old, frail character. But the power inside him was so vast. And to have him be a Force master, if that became a fight of the Force, of them trying to essentially not throw stuff, but using the Force against each other. And that's how Yoda won, through his mastery of the Force. I think that would have been incredible. And I liked all of that leading up to, except the moment when he said, this will not be decided by a mastery of the Force, but by a lightsaber. And then it became cartoons. And I was just like, what is happening here? Why is Yoda moving like that? What is going on? And it was absurd. What could have been this really cool, powerful moment, a well-done fight that they were I was shocked. I was like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. But I knew what was coming. And then that happened. And I was just like, oh, God, yeah, I forgot how bad this is. It just, again, just goes to show, the lack of, I don't even know, the lack of no men around to be like, don't do that. Do this instead. And it's just crazy that was the direction it went after. After doing so well, they're like, oh, you're going to do. Oh, nope. There it goes. Ooh, they tripped and fell hard at that finish line.
We've got a lot of people talking about this already, including Torby, who says this fight was the coolest thing the first time I watched it. Grace is claiming that there was an Obi-Wan and Yoda fight scene that got cut for time.
They cut things for time?
Why did Yoda and Obi-Wan fight? Oh, it's because of my mess up when I said Obi-Wan, Yoda.
I'm pretty sure it's a joke. Grace also asks who is choreography. Latanya, this is your first time seeing the Yoda lightsaber battle. So, ooh, what did you think?
I'd seen the Yoda lightsaber battle on YouTube before I saw the movie, because it's just kind of like, you know, when you watch a lot of analysis videos, even of things that you've never seen because you're that big of a dork, it's something that people go to as kind of a joke. The Yoda turning into cartoon, like fighting that way. I thought everything leading up to it was really cool. I did not know that Anakin also lost a hand. And then I was just like, does anyone get to have hands in the Jedi Order? Like,
no.
Are they all just, I'm not trying to be ableist in any way. It's just,
It's symmetry, right? It's symmetry.
Right. Father, no, it rhymes, is what he likes to say. George Lucas, it rhymes.
To be fair, in Return of the Jedi, there is a scene where Luke takes off Vader's hand and it's machine. And
right. You
don't have to have this moment. You could have been like, he became more machine at some point in life.
Machine.
But instead they were like, no, he's going to lose his hand. That's just how Luke did, because
yeah, exactly the same rhymes. Way. Yeah, I thought the part of it that was the coolest, to be honest, and I'll talk about Yoda fighting in a second, was how Count Dooku, right? I don't want to mess up any villain
Count
name.
Count Dooku, yeah, of
it's
course.
How Count Dooku just like housed those two Jedi in like short fashion.
Yeah, he was just, like, he really 800 knocked
years
them flat.
Old and destroyed the two of them. And
yeah, he really read them for filth.
It was fantastic. And it looked like Christopher Lee was doing his own stunts there.
Yeah.
As well, like his own fight choreography.
You stupid idiots.
That was actually great.
Yeah.
And it's
you dumb little dummies.
To Dave's point here in the comments, I really also did like the different ways in which Anakin and Obi-Wan fought with their lightsabers. I always love a dual lightsaber wielder. I think it's really cool to watch, and I think it's really cool the training that people have to do in order to do that. I thought that Yoda's entrance was really cool. The verbal sparring back and forth with Count Dooku was really cool because they've obviously got a lot of history. But it was just bizarre once the actual fighting started, because he was all over the place. And you would imagine that that's how someone of Yoda's size and stature would be able to fight, if he was that well-trained, that old, like that skilled. But it was because of the rendering of the CGI, the using of the CGI in the first place, that made it appear more comical than it should have been. It's supposed to be this big climactic moment, and I come away feeling like I want Count Dooku to be the winner of this, which is not the way I'm supposed to feel.
In my opinion, it is Count Dooku who should be the winner.
Heaven's sake.
From my perspective, it's Count Dooku.
It is Count Dooku.
Who is evil.
It's also possible that I just maybe like the dark side.
I don't think that's impossible.
Do.
Yeah.
There's a big appeal for the dark side. Just look at TikTok and cosplay. And
well, they got cool stuff, man. Like, they got red lightsabers, in certain vision sequences, they've got, I don't know, red lightsabers, switchblades, Swiss Army knife type stuff. They got cool shit.
And, you know, in the comments, there's a lot of stuff about the forms and the fight style, which has been expanded upon in the expanded universe and all that stuff. But again, for a movie that loves really expositing every single detail as opposed to showing anything, they could have had that. But it's, again, you have to do it retroactively to fix all this stuff and explain things away. Because when George Lucas was doing this, it's probably just like, this looks cool. I that's the thing, too, with the Yoda stuff is him moving like that, I agree, except for the fact that they have him being shown as frail. Again, like, maybe he moved like that when he was younger, cool, but the real hiccup for me is the fact that 20 years later, it's what we see in Empire Strikes Back, and by that point, he's 900 years old. I guess 20 years makes a hell of a difference, but like, he's still there frail like this, and then it's just like, he picks up his cane and carries on.
This is actually kind of the serious thing, is like, I feel like, think about what Yoda's just gone through. He goes, he like, everybody dies on his watch. you know, and he's got to like peace out to Dagobah and just like think about that and have nothing else to do. I feel like you, like something really dark and awful and traumatic happens in your life and you age 1,000 years in a day. You know, like that's not unreal. So the fact that like he's like relatively spry here when he is like high commander of the Jedi Council,
but then everybody
dies. Yeah, because he's, you know, he's
it's only in the lightsaber battles and when he fights Palpatine, when that thing happens in another movie.
Oh yeah, good cover. who would ever be able to guess that?
At the same point, yeah, he's got to be able to say that. That's fine. It's iconic. Yeah.
I'm honestly fine with it. I can't really be spoiled about these movies at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally, 100%.
And also, all his Jedi friends got clowned, and that was also a sucky moment because, like, again, the idea is like, well, the Jedi are ineffectual and weak now. But it's again, you didn't have to make that choice. To know, like, to see all the Jedi essentially get clowned by a bunch of droids was really weird, and especially
it was
like,
a lot of droids.
But like, look at what they do now, right? Like, and you could be like, Luke is an exception, except he's not fully one, right? Like, Ahsoka, holy crap! Like, you have the Jedi when they show up, and it's just like, ooh, oh no, we gotta go, we gotta get out of here. That I think that's cool. This like kind of mysterious thing about the Jedi and like their power, and they show up and they can take out a bunch of droids. And instead, in this, it's just like, well, they get wrecked, and now there's only like 7 of them. I don't know. It's too hard to deal with eliminating all of them in the next movie, so we'll just eliminate most of them now. And there's a few of them, and then we'll just take care of them later. Like, it was just so like woof. Again, just the decisions made were real, real lazy and bad.
Yeah, I kind of liked it, I think. I think I kind of liked Attack of the Clones this time. I gotta be honest. I finished watching it. I was watching it with Brendan, and Brendan and I were having such a good time, and I was watching it. I was like, you know what? I think I actually like this one today. It changes, you know? Sometimes I hate it. It was the one that I really didn't like it the first time I saw it. I really didn't like it in theaters. Latanya, I'll use my favorite word here. It was an awakening of sorts that like it's the end of an age of innocence. I was like, oh no. And I bet the one that I really like is bad too. You know, like it was this moment where I was like, oh no, these aren't good. And so I have no nostalgia for Revenge of the Sith even. I won't like make huge excuses for it because I already went into it being like, well, how much worse can it get? So like that was just kind of what this movie did to me. And it really was this like last rewatch where like, I don't know, I just kind of went into it with like no like major expectations and just like, let's just have a good time. And there were some things that surprised me. The car chase thing surprised me. Even the Yoda fight at the end, I was howling. My favorite line in the movie we haven't even talked about, around the survivors a perimeter which kills
concentrate
me.
Fire you're telling me like concentrate fire on something. Jesus.
Around the survivors a perimeter create. I honestly
so
feel like that's the motto of 2021.
Yeah.
You know, I stopped taking notes at some point, you know, during that final battle, because I was like, I'm actively enjoying this. Okay. This is a thing that I'm enjoying. I did, like I said, I came into this movie not expecting it to be terrible. And if this is the worst installment of the prequels, then I'm rather looking forward to watching the third movie.
Yeah, yeah. I walked away from it thinking that, I walked away from it thinking like, oh man, you know what? I do think this is better than The Phantom Menace. Even though Phantom Menace is you're the one that I love. Ooh, ooh, ooh. but Count Dooku, ooh.
Honey.
This time around was, in my opinion, it was Count Dooku who was better this time. The Phantom Menace is
equal.
I think
it's because Dooku made the movie. Did Dooku make this movie?
I really love him. The second he shows up, I really love the scene where he shows up to Obi-Wan's like, Obi-Wan, I am, whoa, I cannot even believe that they have you suspended in this swirly-dwirly thing. This is such a bad way to treat a guest.
Oh my God, can we
and
please
like,
talk
oh
about
God,
the swirly-dwirly?
Look at this lovely man just stepping in and he's like, oh, well, don't think I'm that nice. I am literally evil. I am literally a Jedi turncoat and an aspiring Sith Lord. I'm the bad guy. Let's be clear.
I cannot see anyone on like one of those swirly dirly, like, you know, Euro pits ever again without thinking of Thor Ragnarok.
Like, yeah, it's a lot like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, I can't believe that
they're shaved
just,
his hair.
Seriously. I can't believe that they're just walking around in a circle. Like, I am getting dizzy watching this happen because he's just circling this guy as he turns around slowly as if being roasted on a spit.
Yeah, he's a roasted meat. He's a roasted meat. It would have been great, Kevin, speaking of Thor Ragnarok, if they re-edited the end of Attack of the Clones and it's Hulk who comes out and Jeff Goldblum is commentating on. Oh, that might be good. You like juxtapose Jeff Goldblum commentating on the Attack of the Clones arena scene could be fun.
I mean, yeah, look, I'm happy for you too, I guess. I'm just not going to agree with it. The movie.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
This movie's bad. It's
don't die. No one needs to die.
No one needs to die on any hills. And also one hill.
Yeah, listen, you know it's the high ground stuff. You don't get to claim that.
In the third one, you'll find out what hill. Yeah. I mean, it used to be my least favorite. It's not going to take that cake anymore. I mean, I think Rise is definitely my least favorite.
Possibly.
And nothing, I think, is going to take that spot, he says, until 20 years from now when there's another trilogy. But, like, this is there.
Yeah,
this
but
is,
if we're, like, is, on a podcast ranking Star Wars movies in 20 years, shit went bad for all of us.
Yeah, it did. But it's second to bottom. It's second to bottom. I like Phantom Menace more.
Shit went south for everybody.
Disney needs that cash, yo. But, yeah, and I'm curious to see Revenge. I remember enjoying parts of Revenge. I remember hating a specific thing about Revenge. So it's going to be interesting seeing that, but just, yeah, we got time. There was nothing fun I had about this movie, I guess.
We got time before we have to do that. Yeah. We've got a Clone Wars podcast to get through next month because a lot of the complaints about these first two prequels and even the third of the prequels, the Clone Wars faithful will tell you that these episodes of television, this massive sprawling series, does a lot of work towards fixing stuff, making it better, or even if it's not about that, it's just being good on its own. So I'm excited to have a conversation with Brendan, who's such a big fan of this stuff and knows it really, really, really well. Well, Tanya, I know you've been watching some of it. I don't know if you've been watching it a lot recently. I've stalled out a little bit personally.
I'm definitely gonna start doing my homework again. And start watching more episodes. I do have to admit that, like, you know, in the order that I'm watching them in, getting to see Anakin do badass things with, like, a very young Ahsoka is cool. They really do a lot in Clone Wars to, like, make Anakin cool.
Yeah.
They got a lot of mess to clean up.
So in terms of the podcast, we're not saying that you have to have watched all of Clone Wars to listen. We're not even saying that you have to have watched, one episode of Clone Wars or you have to have watched the whole thing. What you need is to come into the podcast with a willingness to hear people talk about the Clone Wars. And perhaps that means big spoilers will pop up. Maybe it'll mean medium-sized spoilers will emerge. But I think what's going to happen is mostly like a conversation about, like, I don't know. I think, like, how is this instructive for sort of like the best of the future of Star Wars, right? LaTanya, like Dave Filoni's involvement and stuff and like, the kinds of stories that Star Wars is able to get away with telling in ways that like are at that point. You know, there's a lot of incredible books that are doing this, right? There's a lot of incredible comics that are doing this at the time that Clone Wars comes out. But I know that Clone Wars, it's the visual medium. It's exciting. It's dazzling. I would love to get into some book stuff eventually at some point in time. I think it would be really, really, really fun. But first, I have to learn how to read.
We both do, man.
Yeah.
We can teach each other.
But I think Clone Wars will be good. Like, I've seen a bunch of arcs. Like, I've seen most of the Mando centric stuff from Clone Wars, if not all of it, in fact. And I know that there are lists out there. There's the Ultimate Order, category of the Post Show Recaps Patreon, sent our way, or I think that he had crafted that Mando order, if I'm not mistaken. There's a Reddit thread.
There's the Reddit thread.
Yep, I'll put that in the show notes for this. If you want to go on that journey and if you want to do the full Clone Wars deep dive, this is the time to do it. But if you also want like select highlights, I was given a list of select highlights to watch with the instructions of like, watch these episodes plus the final two seasons of Clone Wars were the instructions that I received. I'll include that in the show notes as well. And then Latanya, however much of that we watch is what we watch. And then we go in and we talk with Brendan and we have a conversation about the Clone Wars and that's it.
I don't know if you want the Latanya Wiggler cut because it'll just be the first and last episode of each season.
Well, that's not the end of the world, but I'm serious. Like, I don't think that's the end of the world. We have to have fun with Star Wars or this is not worth doing. And so like whatever version of that exists for you is what it's going to be as long as it's not harmful to other people. And I don't think this is harmful to other people. So it's going to be fun. I'm really excited about it. And then in April, we'll get back together and finish out this era of Star Wars, this prequel era of the thing. And that's going to be what happens.
With them revenging those Sith.
Yeah, they're going to revenge. The Sith are getting their revenge. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be interesting, too, because you guys coming off of Clone Wars are going to have a lot more context around. Well, not context, but you're going to have a lot more stuff that is retroactively explained heading into Sith versus me, who has not seen those things and is just going in with the knowledge that I already
have. And just to be clear, like, you don't really have a lot of interest in watching the Clone Wars.
It's not that I don't have interest. It's just
lack of time.
The lack of time and just it's a commitment. And there's just so many.
And you don't do anything unless you're like all the way in. So like you can't dabble in Clone Wars. Like you would have to watch the whole thing.
I mean, I would do the select episodes, but even then, it's a lot, man. It's 7 years, 7 seasons. Each one is like 22 something episodes. It's a lot. It's like if I'm trying to catch up on the DC Universe stuff on CW. I love the DC Universe, but at this point, I'm just like, whoa. That's a lot.
Yeah.
TV's too long these days, guys.
I'll make the commitment. I've been, watching Law & Order SVU.
You're going to switch.
It's like 24 episodes
season.
So, there's also Rebels.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get to Rebels eventually. Yeah. I think that by my calculations, I think we'll get to Rebels in June, I'm pretty sure, is when we will have the opportunity to discuss Rebels. And I suspect that it'll be another situation where it's like that month will just be the Rebels podcast because it's just a lot to ask. But in that case, I really would like to try and watch the whole thing because I know that Rebels is like a really like cohesive narrative package.
How many seasons is that one?
I don't know. But like that's a series that a lot of people swear by, and it has like a tight, start to finish story is my understanding. So, that I shall
that do. One. I definitely want I still consume media about all of these things, even though I have not seen them. And, like Binge Mode did some really great podcasting about both Clone Wars and Rebels that I've listened to, and their Rebels stuff is just makes it sound really appealing.
Yeah. Four seasons of Star Wars Rebels is the order.
Yeah.
So I would prioritize that over Clone Wars is my feeling. Like Clone Wars, I feel less bad about, like I'll miss swaths of it and then maybe I'll try and watch like the final two seasons or something like that. And if there's like some essential episodes of like, you can't miss this one, then let me know. Yeah. I'll try and do it. I'm just going to do whatever is going to happen.
We're going to do it live, right?
We're going to do it live. Well, maybe. I don't know. This is fun. I like doing it live. So maybe that is what will happen. Depends on everybody's comfort level. Anyway, speaking of which, Latanya, we got really comfortable in post-show recaps theater this week. Latanya joined myself, Emily Fox, and Lee McLaren for a free-for-all, no-movie-focused post-show recaps theater episode. It was an epic disaster. Kevin, you came up quite a bit.
What the hell?
It was really funny. Yeah.
Well, you're really a main character in it.
Yeah, you're like I would say like a recurring guest star, but like a great recurring guest star.
Is it like you just talk about me like Ralph? That's just how it is.
You're in the background.
Exactly.
Kevin, of course, is referencing WandaVision, which Latanya, Kevin, and I are talking about every single week for the next 2 weeks. We've got two more weeks of WandaVision. Only 2 weeks left, and then we'll have some other stuff that's coming up. Some announcements to come on that front. Stay tuned. So the Marvel thing, it's happening weekly. Everything is super. And yeah, come and, you know, party with us in the Discord, folks. You want to do it, right? It's patreon.com/postshowrecaps. We've got a Discord. You can sign up at that level. You mad at me for something I said on a podcast? Don't be mean about it. I swear, you are not allowed to be mean about it. You can disagree, but you got to be cool. Oh my God. If you're not cool there, we'll all have a big problem about that. But everyone's really cool and it's a great time and we're having a blast. So we invite you to join us and play Dungeons and Dragons and then join us in the Wario Casino and do some gambling. Latanya's there. We have an incredible time here, and we want you to be a part of it. So think about it. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. With that said, I think it's time for me to say, Corey B., take it away. We'll be back next week with a Clone Wars podcast. And when I say next week, I definitely mean next month. It's definitely going to be sometime next month and absolutely not next week. Corey B., take it away. Bye, everybody!
A long time to go. A long time to go. A long time to go. A long time to go.
Have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.